Next up is Clay Cawthorn Ballew, who's coming to us from Denver. She is a professor of surgery at the University of Colorado School of Medicine there, and also at Denver Health, where she practices as an active trauma surgeon and director of the ICU. And she's going to talk to us about sequential closure of the abdomen.
Thank you very much, Brian. I have no disclosures. So I think it's time for some good pictures. I think it's time for some belly pictures. So I think we've had a really nice summary of how in the world we got here, right? We've talked about the evolution of damage control. We've talked about the different factors, whether it's damage control for general surgery or for trauma. We've talked about a little bit about abdominal compartment syndrome. But clearly, there are still some conditions that get us stuck with an open abdomen. Now, we've also talked a little bit about some of the therapies while you have an open abdomen, and I think, yes, it would be nice to avoid the open abdomen altogether and get them closed at that first laparotomy, and there are going to be some patients that you still have open. We've talked a little bit about DPR. Here you see one of our cases of DPR on the left-hand side. That's 24 hours of DPR therapy in our patient. We've talked about judicious resuscitation, damage control resuscitation, balanced resuscitation. We touched a little bit about fluid balance, whether or not your goal is to get them net negative by 72 hours or a particular amount day to day that you want to effectuate change. And finally, we really haven't touched on, and it's probably a whole different panel discussion, is the use of enteral nutrition in these patients that have an open abdomen. All of these therapies, as you manage these patients in the ICU, I think are really important to get them closed. But my job this morning is to show you some great pictures, keep you all still awake, hopefully get the GCS and the audience to come up a little bit, right? And figure out how in the world to get this patient closed. Now, this is a better picture because we just opened him all the way from his sternal notch all the way to his pubis, so it's a little bit more drastic in that picture. But we managed to get this one closed nonetheless. So I think the first thing is you should not become discouraged. If you are left with this at the end of your case, do not think that you cannot get this closed. This is still possible because I think it's really important. Open abdomens are temporary in the vast majority of cases. And thankfully, Dr. Barra is going to discuss if we are forced to leave that rare patient open, because I'm going to convince you we can get them all closed. She's going to tell you how to fix it if we can't get them closed. But open abdomens really are temporary in these patients. So clearly, the goal is fascial closure. And if you're fortunate and you've optimized that patient in the ICU and done everything right in that 24 to 48 hours of resuscitation, you take them back, you put everything back together, and you can close their fascia at that repeat laparotomy. That is the ideal. And I think that probably happens in 60, 75% of patients. However, what in the world do you do if you can't get them closed at that repeat laparotomy? You've done everything possible. You've used every tool in your armamentarium, but you can't get them closed. So why in the world, I think it's always nice to bring, maybe not, you guys may not think, I think it's nice to bring a personal story about why in the world I took an interest in sequential closure. So for those of you in the audience that are old enough to remember how we managed these patients, this is what an open abdomen used to result in. So we would leave them open, we'd resuscitate them, and then we would allow granulation tissue just to form over that visceral block. We'd skin graft the visceral block, and then everything perfectly aligned, they would heal that visceral block and all that skin grafting. We'd let it mature, we'd let it slowly heal, and about 9 to 12 months later, they would have this skin graft that you could pull up away from your visceral block, and then you would do a delayed component separation or mesh or something to remove that skin graft and get the abdomen back closed again. So this all looks, well, it looks kind of nightmarish, but it looked reasonable at the time. Until you have this. This is the patient that got me interested in the open abdomen. I was a brand new attending. This was almost 20 years ago. And as you can tell, this is, you probably can't tell, it looks bad, right? This is all healed skin graft. They already have a little intra-atmospheric fistula over here. We have a little bag on it. It's all fine. This is all skin graft. And then the patient coughed. This is his split open skin graft, and these are just the inside of the multiple loops of bowel that have split open with the skin graft. Now, the minute that you get called to the bedside by your resident team with this, you start to think, there has to be a better way, right? This is not where I want to be. So this patient alone who made it through that, he actually walked into my clinic de novo about 2 months ago. He wanted his hernia fixed. Now, 17 years later, I declined him that opportunity. This patient alone got me interested in how in the world we get these patients closed. So we started working on how do we get these big abdomens closed. So we came up with sequential fascial closure as a technique. And so I'm just going to march through how we do it, and then I'm going to talk about the things that we've learned over the last 15 years and how you can adapt this in your own environment. So number one, you return to the OR, you did all those great things in the ICU to optimize the patient. They look terrific. They are ready to go back. You bring them back, you trim the edges of the eye band. So we use just a standard Barker's backpack or an adaptation of that, where you put the 10-10 drape, we fenestrate it, we put the two JP drains, and you put an eye band over top. Really easy, simple way to go. And we trim back the edges of the eye band all the way around. You can ignore this. This is our pelvic packing and our X-Fix and our SP tube, in case you're curious what's going on down here. And then we prep out the abdomen. Now, I will say it looks really cool in the picture, but don't cover your viscera with that nice green towel, right? You want to see what's going on in there. You want to see if there's a bunch of blood that's accumulating. You want to see if the bowels turn black, anything bad in the abdomen. So it looked really good for this picture, but just my little caveat is don't cover up what you want to know is going on inside. And then your next technique is you need to start closing that abdomen. So what we started doing is we use these white sponges, which you've probably seen for the VAC. We sort of patchwork them together over the visceral block, over your intestines, staple them together so no one peeks out through some of your white sponges, and then you put that underneath the fascia, sort of closing over top of the abdomen, much like a silo. But then the key is you start doing this fascial retraction. So by putting these fascial, quote-unquote, retention, they're not really old-fashioned retention sutures that go out wide. They're just simple fascial bites, but we separate them by about 5 centimeters. And the point of that is really just to hold the fascia where it is so it doesn't retract out laterally. And then we put our clear plastic sheet over top of the entire white sponge network there in the middle. And we cut the plastic edge along the open wound. So you can see we're cutting right along the skin edge there. And that provides a nice plastic barrier over the skin. You take the plastic off of the middle of the white sponges. You pull, it took 2 big black sponges for this patient. Sometimes you can do 1, but this patient had enough sticking out that we had to use 2. And then you use that nice covering over the skin, and you put your secondary occlusive dressing over the entire apparatus, and you put the entire thing to vac suction, and you're done. And the patient looks so much better than when you first went in, right? So then you come back 2 days later. This is now your 3rd trip to the operating room, 2nd take back. And you can see that we've actually been able to make some progress. So here we close the fascia in the midline with some interrupted number 1 PDSs. We place new white sponges. So here I've gone from 6 white sponges that I patchworked together over those loops of bowel and all that viscera. Now I'm down to just 2 sponges. It's a piece of cake. I've stapled it in the middle. I've put it over top. Next, I need to put my fascial sutures. So these sort of space out over top to keep the fascia towards the midline and prevent retraction. And then I actually like to go ahead and close the skin here over top of my fascia, because sometimes, again, we'll talk a little bit, but if you can't get them closed, you'd like a biologic covering. So even if I could get skin and commit to a hernia, I'd rather get some type of biologic covering than go down that skin graft route and get the intero-atmospheric fistula. Close the skin over top, and then you basically repeat the whole thing. You put your occlusive dressing on, you cut out the central area, and then you put your black sponge over top. It's a little sponge sandwich over your fascial sutures. So now we're back to trip number 3. So repeat OR number 3, total laparotomies 4. Make some more progress here. You're feeling a lot better. Look how much more space we have now. But can't quite get that last bit closed. So of course, here we go again. And finally, the belly is closed, and your residents are high-fiving because they know that otherwise that patient would have been skin grafted and been on their service for the next couple of months. And in case you were curious, remember, we had a long way to go when we started here compared to here. So the key things that I think that we've learned over the last 10 to 15 years of doing these types of procedures and trying to get these abdomens closed is some key points. Number one, you need to go back every other day. So at least every 24, 36, no more than 48 hours. And the reason I say that is for the group of my group, not all of us necessarily agree on everything. Surprise, a group of surgeons gets together and we don't agree. We had some surgeons that didn't believe in this, and it was interesting when we compared those who followed the strict protocol versus those that didn't. Even if you delayed that extra day or maybe two, those patients didn't get close. So I really think that this attention to detail and really taking the patient back no matter what time, every 2 days at a maximum, is really critical. The second key thing is obviously VAC therapy has changed all of our lives with all sorts of different things, and I think this is very true for the open abdomen. Getting these bellies closed, VAC therapy really has improved our closure rates. And then the third component is that fascial traction towards the midline. If you allow the fascia to retract out laterally and you lose that domain, it is hard to get it back. Now, I like to use sutures. That's what we, you know, PDS is cheap, right? So I used that many moons ago. It was readily available on my shelf. I didn't really have a lot of other options. But you can use anything to prevent that fascia from retracting, whether it's sutures, there's silastics out there, there's mesh that you can reef together in the middle, hook and loop sheets. There's a lot of different things. So if you Google it, you will find all sorts of industry things that you can use to keep that fascia towards the midline. And moreover, you can decide where you would like to close it. You can look in the literature and see people close this abdomen all sorts of places. I like to do it in the operating room. Some people bring the operating room to the ICU. Here you can see we've brought the operating room simply to our ICU, and we're just operating here at the bedside in the ICU. Occasionally I've done it in the MICU. That causes a little bit more consternation, obviously, but you can do it there as well. What are some other thoughts as you're slowly pulling this abdomen back together? I'd say, number one, don't re-eviscerate the bowel every single time you go back to the operating room. The whole point is to slowly reduce the visceral contents back within the abdomen and bring that fascia over top. If you have anastomoses in the abdomen, it's really important to hide those, whether that's down inside the visceral block, out under the fascia, something so that you're not continually putting a vac or a sponge or re-manipulating a fresh anastomosis. I like to put, you know, normally we put our stomas a little closer. I put stomas way lateral because the more that you are in that abdomen, you could disrupt and cause a leak of your stoma. So even though it seems odd to practically have it come out their flank, by the time that abdomen actually migrates and you get the fascia closed, it's a lot more anterior than you think. It also can impact how you reconstruct them down the road. And so sometimes having that lateral stoma can make it a little bit easier if you need to reconstruct them 9 to 12 months later. I've gotten much more cautious in my placement of operative gastrostomy and operative jejunostomy tubes. Obviously, I think all of us know situations in which these operative tubes can be life-saving. And I've become much more of a nasogastric Dobhoff tube down into the proximal small bowel. Because if you're going back in that abdomen, it's one more source of leak and complication rate. And so it used to be that we didn't let anyone leave the operating room without a G and a J tube. And I think that pendulum, like many pendulums in trauma, probably has swung slightly. One caveat I will say about DPR, and we like DPR in that for us, we use it in the first 24 hours if we're going to use it. You can't do it with a white sponge. You will give the patient abdominal compartment syndrome. So just learn from my mistake, because it was very effective in creating abdominal compartment syndrome in my patient. You can't DPR the patient if you have a white sponge, so you need to use an old-fashioned Barker's backpack, which here you can see sort of what ours looks like at the bedside. And then I do think that your component separation is your, for me, from my standpoint, is your reconstruction option long-term. And so doing an early component separation, trying to get the abdomen closed in these patients, really burns a bridge for later reconstruction that I'm not sure you want to do. And it then you're talking about really much more complex fascial replacement options in a delayed fashion. So how are we doing? Obviously, you know, it's always great when a speaker gets up here and then they put their own paper up there and they tell you it's terrific, right? Well, guess what I just did? I just put my own paper up there. We think that it works really well, and we have managed to get some abdomens that even some of my partners that disagreed with me at first went, oh, that's that. You got that close. So I think that using these techniques, attention to detail, ICU care, it's the whole package that really starts to move this pendulum towards 100% closure. And so in summary, I would say that there is still a role for the open abdomen. I think it's terrific that the pendulum has swung away from leaving 30 or 40% of these abdomens open, but it's not zero. Anyone with a bad trauma patient is going to have a patient that needs an open abdomen. And so I think recognizing all the different tools in your armamentarium with the ultimate goal of getting that fascia closed early, I think it's really important. And so the role of sequential closure, regardless of what type of mechanism to keep the fascia from retracting, prevent fascial retraction, use your VAC, and get the patient back to the operating room within 36 to 48 hours. Thank you.